What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by More Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind. My name is Mark Moore with my co-host, my wife, Kathy Moore.
Hello.
So today, the logical thing to talk about for us is going to be animals and how that affects your insurance, because we are in the dog business.
We are in the dog business for sure.
So we have a voluntary dog business and an involuntary dog business.
That's right.
We had a stray dog show up about 3 weeks ago who has now... it's still in our backyard. I'm trying to get a home for it. So if anyone is missing a pit bull mix in the vicinity of the Ridges Golf Course, Peckerwood Road,
Townings
please
Creek,
let us know.
Cole Branch area.
We have put out signs and also...
And paper, Facebook. We've tried everything to find this poor little... It's a girl dog. And she is sweet, but she is not our dog. And we already have... other dogs, so we need to find her home.
We're experiencing dog fights.
Yes.
We've already had our dogs are fighting with this dog, and it's just
it's not
ongoing
well.
Saga.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's not going well.
Yeah. So we're going to try to find. I want to take it to a no-kill shelter because it's, or hopefully we can maybe find the owner. Maybe it's got a chip. I've got to find out if it's been microchipped.
We had the vet out. The vet told us. They didn't have, the one that we had was did not have one to scan the chip or have it. If he had a chip, we don't even know if it does or not. So we'll have to find that out.
Yeah. So I'm on a waiting list for one of the Humane Society shelters to take the dog. I guess they're full, and you know that's
a dilemma.
Pretty, I guess, labor of love. You know, we're taking care of these stray animals. You know, there's people that come out and they will help rescue animals, and also I saw one gentleman that had a cat rescue. He was like feeding cats in the community,
right,
and I gave
right.
him a little donation for his work. People have a heart for animals, and you know, animals are a big business in the country. You think about just how much people spend on dog food or on their pets.
It becomes part of your family.
Yeah,
I mean,
almost like or you know, vet bills.
Oh yeah, those
are
expensive.
You've got all types of expenses out there that. Animals calls, mm-hmm. and as a owner of an animal, you are responsible for what your animal does, mm-hmm. and that's called, you know, in the world, being vicariously liable. Even though that normally has to do with humans, you know, mm-hmm. if you have an employees or a minor, you know, you're vicariously liable
for your kids,
your kids or for your employees. But you know, obviously, an animal can't be liable for anything because they're an animal. But you, as an owner, are liable.
Well, like, even for like your. If you have any type of cows or you know that, they get out in the road, that's awesome.
Yeah, any animal that you own.
I mean, there's an array of animals that are horses, whatever that you might have in this area. So,
and it does play into insurance because...
It sure does.
We have, you know, one of the questions that we have when we got a homeowner's policy is, do you have animals? And, you know, a dog or animal. And then there's a list. If you've got a certain type of dog, and I don't have a list here with me, which I've always have good intentions of bringing a list, but I can remember what they are. Most of them are going to be like a Chow, a Pit Bull, a Rottweiler, is it a Kia? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a hybrid wolf. So there's a whole list of dogs that insurance companies, some will flat out just, you have no insurance for liability. So mm-hmm. if your Pit Bull bites, you know, the kids next door or whatever, then your homeowner's liability will not pay for this claim. And these can be very, very costly and expensive, especially
right.
when you have a child.
Or if someone had to have plastic surgery or had to have surgery or, you know.
Well, one company, and this is something you look at for your insurance policy, is that you may have no coverage at all for liability, or you may have what's called limited coverages.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the insurance companies are putting a limit on how much they're going to pay for a liability claim in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's $50,000. So if you're
won't go that far.
Will not go that
major.
Far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or a death even. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of liability if you do have an animal of a particular breed that is being...
Well, even if they are not those breeds, but they've had a history of biting, they will ask you if your dog has ever bit somebody or had any type of documentation that they've bit somebody before. They have a bite history. They want to know, the insurance carrier wants to know that for sure, because that's an important thing too. I mean, they've had Chihuahuas that bite people. I mean, there's different dogs that will actually bite, but you know, again, you have to be really careful about which ones you have.
Well, that puts you in a negligent situation, mm-hmm. because you know, I learned in insurance school and also when I was doing business law classes that, you know, you've got different elements but when you're considered negligent, and you know, the first thing is like you've got a duty, and then you have a breach of that duty, and then you end up being you know, responsible for an injury after that's been breached. So what happens is the you know, if you know that a dog has bitten before, mm-hmm. then that's something that you were aware of,
right,
and you failed to respond, then that makes it even worse from a negligence standpoint. Yes. I've had situations where we've had a slip and fall where somebody fell and then somebody came and fell again. So if you know something and it's been documented, it's already happened, then you're in a real bad spot when it comes to liability. It makes it even worse. Absolutely. So as much as I like to say it, if you've got a dog that's bit, sometimes you may just have to get rid of the dog. Mm-hmm. It happened to me as a child. We had a child, you know, a chow, and it bit a friend of mine, and we had to get rid of a dog. Back in the old timer days around here, and people may not like to hear this, but it was kind of like it was socially acceptable to shoot a dog. I mean, if somebody
especially came, if they got their chickens, or some type of livestock.
Remember, mm-hmm. like, you know, if you go down to the neighbor's house and it gets in the chicken coop, then the neighbor can shoot the dog, and that still happens today. And there's still, I think, there's liability about that, or there's rules about that, I should say. You know, if an animal comes on someone's premises, there's times where you can actually.
We can tell you because we have a lot of dogs. I mean, we have a lot of property, thankfully, so they can kind of run. But even when you do all our due diligence to keep them where they're supposed to be, we've bought fences, we've had electric fence collars or whatever. Notoriously, something happens and the battery runs out, and then they're doing something. Not that they've done anything bad, but they've just gone to other people's properties. And so we do our very best to keep them in their area that we have delegated for them. But again, it's a process, and I feel like you can do everything you possibly do and stuff still can happen. So just be prepared and make sure you have done everything you can to protect yourself from any type of situations like that.
So here's a list I just Googled. So what dogs bite the most in top 10 breeds? Number one, they have pit bull. Then you've got the Rottweiler. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised it's not saying Chihuahua or something.
Yeah.
Then you've got the German Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And after that's mixed breed, which is, you know, who knows what that could be. Then Chow. And, okay, number six is Jack Russell. So I'd rather get bit by a Jack Russell than a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
Or a pit bull, right?
Yeah.
Then you've got Cocker Spaniels, number seven.
Really?
Yep.
That's surprising.
I'm not surprised. Number eight, I'm surprised about this one, is Collie. I mean,
really?
I don't think Lassie would bite anybody, but according to this, it says it does.
Wow.
So then St. Bernards. Now that would be, those things are big.
Those are really big.
Yeah. And then the last one is a Labrador Retriever. So I'm kind of surprised about the Labrador and the, you know, what was the
Collie.
The Collie. Calls.
Yeah, Lassie.
Mm. Yeah. So I don't know, but... You know, when it comes to insurance, you've got to think about, you know, you are liable for your animal. So if it does bite somebody, you're responsible for somebody's medical bills. Mm-hmm. Also, you're responsible if you have a dog that has, you know, bitten but twice. What's that saying? Once bitten, twice shy, or something. Mm-hmm. I don't think about that things, but anyway, that's going to be something that you have to decide. If your dog has bit somebody, you've got to reveal that on the insurance application, because they're going to ask you what kind of dogs you have, and they're going to say, yes, I've got a dog. It's Lassie, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're going to ask you if Lassie has been anybody before.
Right.
And if you say yes, then the insurance company may reject your application. And that's mm-hmm. something we have to ask when we write an insurance application.
Right.
So I think we're ready for a break now, and we're talking about animals today and how that relates to liability and insurance. We'll be back after the break talking some more about animals. We love them, but we also, sometimes when it comes to insurance, there can be an issue. So my name is Mark Moore, my wife Kathy. You're listening to Peace of Mind on WGRB Talk of the Mountains.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Moore with my husband, Mark. We want to let you know where we're located. We have 5 locations. 3 are in Georgia and 2 are in North Carolina. 3 of them are called More Insurance Services, Inc., and they're located in Blairsville, Georgia, Hiawassee, Georgia, and Hayesville, North Carolina. Our office in Blairsville is located across the street from Home Depot and next to the post office in Blairsville. So come by and see us in our Blairsville location. Our second location is located in Hiawassee, Georgia. It's at 150 South Main Street, Suite C. It's a red brick building next to the hospital in Hiawassee. Come by and see us there as well. And then our last location for More Insurance Services, Inc. is located in Hayesville, North Carolina, which is at 157 Highway 64 West. We are right next to United Community Bank in Hayesville on the main drag. So come by and see us there. And that's our main hub. So majority of all of our time is spent there too. So our other location is located in Murphy, North Carolina. It's called Mountain Insurance. It's a division of More Insurance. It's located right past Arby's and So Good's restaurant. They're on the left outside of on Highway 64 as well in Murphy. And our last location is in Blue Ridge, Georgia, called Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. It's a division of More Insurance as well. And we are located between United Community Bank and Burger King there in Blue Ridge. So come by and see us there in Blue Ridge. You can also check us out on our website, which is www.more-insurance.com. And you can also check us out on our Facebook pages as well. And on our website, you can get all these great podcasts. In case you missed one of those, you can check them out on our website as well as request a quote. We'd love to help you with your insurance. And come by and see us at our in any of our locations.
Okay. I hope they're great. I mean,
they're wonderful.
Yeah. So
they're educational.
Education. We're trying to educate. We're trying to make
that's
awareness.
What we're trying to do.
But insurance is really boring.
There's a lot
until
to
you
know.
Have a claim, which you need to. You know.
And it's so ever changing too.
It's ever changing.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about animals, mm-hmm. and we spent a lot of time before the break talking about dogs, and you know, you're responsible for your pet and what mm-hmm. your pet does. You're liable for the actions of your pet.
Right. If they've messed somebody's property up or if they bit somebody, that's mainly the big thing with most of them. Or if they get out of their fence or their gates, like if you have a cow or a horse. The big thing is with cows, of course, and your livestock is if they get out on the road and someone were to hit them. So you're responsible to have good fencing and all that for those things.
So we're going to talk about that today, about mm-hmm. how insurance plays into this. Mm-hmm. Are you covered for your animal? Mm-hmm. And before the break, I'd referenced that certain insurance companies, or maybe most of
majority of them, yes.
are not going to cover certain types of animals. Mm-mm. And we listed the Rottweiler, the Pitbull, the German Shepherd, Chows. And if you don't have any coverage, you may have a company that gives you some coverage. Like you get $50,000 of liability.
Which might not be enough.
Yeah. So if you've got a, you know, $1 million umbrella policy and, you know, you've got $2 million of liability, that's great. But in this particular case, you're getting limited to a particular dog breed. And if there's it's a dog bite. Mm-hmm. So according to the internet, which we always know is correct.
ChatGPT.
Yes, 4.5 million people are bitten by dogs annually. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right? That's what it says.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
And 800,000 of those bites require medical attention. You know, obviously, children are particularly at risk because they can provoke dogs. Like I poked the dogs with a stick when I was a kid, and they bit me. You know, it was my fault, but the dog bit me when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and it was a neighbor's dog. So you are responsible for your animal, and your insurance policy may or may not cover you for liability on a certain dog breed, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So also, if you have a large animal, if you have cows or if you have a horse, you've got to have what's called incidental farm liability on your homeowner's policy,
right,
or you have no coverage. And then if you have over a certain number of them, like say maybe five or six, then you've got to have what's called a farm owner's policy. Mm-hmm. The incidental farm owner's liability endorsement is designed for somebody that has, you know, less than five livestock. You know, you got five cows.
Depending on the carrier, some of them will go a little bit higher than that.
It depends on the insurance company, right, but there's going to be a limit on a homeowner's policy.
Under normal, yes.
And once you exceed a threshold that's whatever the company's risk tolerance is, how many they're going to let you have, then you need to have a farm owner's policy.
Right. I think they also look at acreage too, like how many acres you have too on certain ones.
They may. It depends on the insurance carrier.
Right.
Now, when I grew up with the cows,
right,
because we had cows, and my dad he called himself a gentleman farmer. Mm-hmm. So we had, you know, and I appreciate the old farm days. Like I know how to dig I have my PhD. I have a post-hole digger. So mm-hmm. I was able to like dig, you know, do fences, and I had to feed cows, and we did, you know, so I was exposed to all that, but we weren't a full blown farm by any means. Mm-hmm. I mean, dad had, you know, five cows, and what he would needed, you know, to be covered properly is a endorsement on his homeowner's policy.
Mm-hmm.
Now the rationale is, if somebody's living in downtown Atlanta, you live down in Fulton County and you're, you know, near Atlanta, why would you have to pay for livestock liability? I mean, if you're down
right
in Atlanta, you can't even have a cow. You're not
right
even zoned to have a cow. So that's why it doesn't automatically cover you for this. So you've got to actually buy an endorsement if you do have a cow or a horse or any type of large animal that's going to give you coverage for your animal if it were to kick somebody, maybe. Or maybe if it got out, like Kathy said.
Throw them.
Yeah, if you end up getting in this, you know, we've had this claim, the cow or horse, you know, gets out of the pasture, you're responsible for your fencing.
Mm-hmm.
So if it escapes the premises and now there's an auto accident and somebody's injured, their car's damaged because of your animal, then you've got to have liability coverage for, you know, owning the animal. So that's important to know. So
yes,
just as a recap, you know, if you've got a particular dog breed, you may not have coverage. You may be limited on the coverage you have for liability. If you have a large animal, you need to get with your agent and ask them about incidental farm liability,
right,
because you don't want to have a situation that you're not covered on when your animal causes bodily injury,
right,
or property
and
damage
if you
to
go
a
to
third
your,
person.
If you go to your agent and have it, you let them know, let them of course communicate with the insurance carrier that how many cows you have or how many horses you have, or they're going to tell you based off of the particular carrier with how many they will allow. So if you go over that threshold, you might want to have a conversation with your agent about that too, because at the time when we wrote the policy, they had five cows and now they have 20. They didn't tell us. We don't want to find out when there's a claim. So just again, as we've talked about over and over again with our show, the communication that you have with your agent, letting them know what you're doing, what you have done to your home, if you've had any betterments or improvements, the communication is key with anything in any relationship. But, you know, this is very important so that you're insured properly. So make sure you do communicate with your agent.
That's right. And a lot of people have land that's not next to where they live.
Right.
Like, that's what we have. We live at our house, and then across the way down the road, we've got what was my grandfather's farm.
Right.
And that is leased out to a tenant, and he has
animals.
Goats. He's got a horse. He's got a cow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got him, he's required to have a policy, mm-hmm, which is a farm owner's policy.
Right.
He has liability for his animals where they escape the premises or somebody gets hurt, whatever. And he's listing me as an additional insured on his policy. And then on top of that, I've got a farmer's policy
right.
that gives me liability.
Right.
And to make it even more tied up, I've got a LLC, limited liability company, that owns that property.
Right.
So I've got several different protections.
Ways to protect yeah. us, yes.
It's kind of like we have something called the belt and suspenders. Like your belt, well, you got your suspenders. And that's kind of the way it is. You know, I've got the additional insured status, and then sometimes you've got either a contractual agreement where you've had somebody hold you harmless if there is a liability
yeah,
for
situation.
Yeah,
we call it risk transfer.
That happens all the time with in the construction industry.
Absolutely.
So think about your animal. Make sure that if you do have a dangerous dog, you might be aware that you may not have liability. Or if you've got a large animal, make sure you've talked to your agent about, am I covered if my animal gets out in the road and causes an auto accident? Okay, this is Mark Moore and Kathy Moore signing off this week's show. And thank you for listening to Peace of Mind. And we will be back next week. Thank you.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.